Everyone on the bus was talking about my mother's death. A student in high-octane orange trousers sporting a haircut that looked like it was done by a barber suffering from Parkinson's was singing Ding Dong the Witch is Dead to some giddling, buxom, artful type. I sat still, biting my lips so hard I could taste blood on my tongue. I wanted to scream to them to shut up, but I think my outer voice empathised with them. We approached Valhalladale and passed where used to be the hole in the road. It had been filled in last week after too many fuddy-duddy complaints of the council that it was an eyesore. I got off the bus by the houses that looked like skulls and immediately threw up in a privet. I wiped my mouth and walked down to the river. Everyone goes down there when the sun comes up, and Johnny's no exception. I threw up again. Eventually, I reached the river. News of my mother had obviously spread as people are turning up in their droves carrying boxes of beer, acoustic guitars, picnic baskets, outdoor chairs and them disposable barbecues that take so long to get going you could fly to Texas and eat freshly slaughtered barbecue ribs before the pink of your meat has even thought about leaving your sausage. One gang of lads have hung from a tree a piñata, dressed in old lady's clothes with a mask of my mother's face attached to it and are taking joyful turns at hitting it with a cricket bat. A white kid with dreads sings redemption song on his acoustic guitar, which is juxtaposed by a ghetto blaster playing Dylan's Maggie's Farm over and over again. A staffy board of chasing a ball thrown by its owner runs into some bushes where a fair-skinned ginger couple have made a naked retreat from the sun. Before any young lover can say Kama Sutra, the bull terrier is straight in between their legs for one quick lick of the pendulous ginger nutsack. It was then I saw Johnny, stood alone, away from the crowd, leaning against a tree on the riverbank with one foot on the trunk, smoking a cigarette, and I, feeling like I was wearing moon boots with 8-inch heels, staggered towards him, trying not to be sick again. "Hello, John. I suppose you've heard about my mother then," I said angrily, like I was confronting some odious village gossip. He didn't even look at me. He just continued staring at the river. "I really need someone to talk to right now, someone to hold me, understand what I'm going through." I shouted at him, "Johnny, please!" But he just took a drag of his cigarette, flicked it into the river, spat on the floor, and began to walk away from me. Without thought, I picked up a small rock and screamed, "Listen to me!" At the same time, smashing the rock into the side of his skull so hard that his shades fell off his head and his whole body span round. And for the first time ever, he looked me direct in the eyes. There were tears in them as he fell backwards into the river. I watched quietly, in an almost euphoric haze, as Johnny, the last of the great dreamers with a plan, sank into the brown-grey depths of the river. And I continued to watch way after the air bubble stopped and all life had drained from him. And for one tiny second of clarity, I realised I really am the shopkeeper's daughter's daughter.